This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
True North Store's beverage clubs just got bigger. Buy six Celsius, Pure Leaf Tea, Starbucks Energy, or Pepsi 1 liter flavors and get the seventh free. Whether you're craving an energy boost or just something to quench your thirst, we've got the drink for you. As a True Rewards member, sip and save with our clubs when you buy six and get the seventh free. Download now from your favorite app store for more details. True North Convenience Stores and True Rewards. Fast, friendly, clean.
What is Dax, are you
tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
WGR Sports Radio 550 presents.
You walk into a stadium, 8,000 people, they all want you to lose. But as long as you got your 26 guys ready to kick ass or kick butt, you're going to be all right.
Sports Talk Saturday.
I heard a fan offer free Dippin' Dots if I blew it, which the price of Dippin' Dots with inflation is just unreal. So, for a brief moment, I was like, damn, Dippin' Dots sound good. But also, I thought in the back of my head, we win today, we win tomorrow, or tonight. We're going to be here another day. That's more per diem. So that means I can buy my own Dippin' Dots and be a winner.
On WGR.
I think three words every time I'm out there. The first one's a swear word, starts with F. Second word's attack. The third one's win. And I just repeat that to myself. Unless, you know, there's a breach in the system and a walkie guy, and I got to tell myself I'm a few different things that isn't a winner.
Sports Radio 550.
It is getting to be warm enough that Dippin' Dots are a good idea.
That legitimately is like if Ricky Bobby was a real person. Like, that conversation.
Hey, the price of Dippin' Dots with inflation, it's insane.
I wonder what he'd think now.
Yeah. Because that's not an interview that just happened. But either way, the price of Dippin' Dots always goes up.
Dippin' Dotflation.
They do have to stop making it like the catchphrase, ice cream of the future. No, future's here.
Future, that was 20 years ago, guys.
You've been pitching that line for 20 years. Future's here, and you're still not the ice cream of now. Are you going to be of the future? No. The ice cream dots, they're too small.
Longer than 20 years. They were invented in 1988. We're pushing 40. We're pushing 40 years. As Derek's face twitches across from me. 1987. Kurt Jones, a microbiologist, experimented with flash freezing yogurt bacteria for animal feed, but later realized he could apply the same process to ice cream, creating tiny beaded texture. So 87, the idea was born. 88, it was commercialized. So right, we're pushing 40 years of Dippin' Dots.
I'm younger than Dippin' Dots. That's good.
I think yeah.
I'm younger than Dippin' Dots. Not by much, but I am.
Yeah.
But you said that it's pushing 40 and...
Oh. I don't mean to make your head go there.
It's 10:05 and I've gotten a massive
existential
shot.
Crisis.
No, I've gotten a massive shot to my confidence. So... 10:05. We're off to a great start here.
A little early.
Why are we early today? It is because we have afternoon Buffalo Sabres hockey against the Vegas Golden Knights. Ooh. And yeah, it's kind of a whoop-de-doo Basil moment for me, but we'll talk more about that later.
Oh boy.
And also, next week, 10 o'clock to 1 p.m., because the Sabres will play at 2 p.m.
1 p.m. pregame.
1 p.m. pregame. Yep. Next week. So we're on at 10 for these next two shows. And quite frankly, I was in yesterday to do the Extra Point show with Zach, and Zach had the question of what do you grade the Bills offseason so far? And then yesterday it comes out that two of the Bills signings are going to be sitting six games with a suspension for the drug use policy,
mm-hmm.
or substance abuse policy, sorry.
I was hoping they ate like a poppy seed bagel and got like flagged, but unfortunately not the case.
But it does seem though that like both players have taken the onus on what has happened.
Mm-hmm.
But how badly does it reflect on Brandon Bean? And my answer is, it doesn't really move the needle for me, one way or the other.
Right.
I'm not aggressively going to be like, how dare you sign two players that aren't going to be here for six games? Considering, yeah, they knew one of them. So guess what? They think that he's still going to be an impactful player enough that they signed him.
Hoyt's around for more than 1 year as well, I believe, right?
Yes. The thing is that they signed him knowing that this was going to be there,
mm-hmm.
and still dinged him as a player worth dealing with that problem.
Mm-hmm.
And then in Ogunjobi's case, they didn't know it was going to happen.
No. But that's also not their fault. It's up to the player to disclose it or not. He doesn't have to, necessarily.
But it also does come into question of, like, how do you manage to sign two players with the same issue,
yeah.
and that they're going to miss six games?
Yeah.
That's the part that you kind of, like, throw your hands up in the air and go, I don't know what the hell happened here. But at the same time, I'm not going to say,
no,
you're fine. Like, it's a problem.
It's not threat-level midnight. It's not.
No, it's not. But it is also, I saw too many jokes yesterday about Brandon Bean taking a Sabres-like approach to these signings.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
which, A, tells you about one team, and B, tells you, yeah, it's kind of a goof.
Mm-hmm.
It is kind of a goof. And that's pretty much, I think, all it is.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's managerial malpractice. We're not going to go that far. I'm not going to go ahead and say, like, it's a terrible offseason.
No, because it could be a lot worse.
It's also not finished.
Yeah.
I don't think that the Bills are done.
So, and if we're counting the draft.
And an offseason also includes the NFL draft.
Yeah, so you have plenty of time. And they're forward, actually, too. Up until training camp, I would say.
Yeah.
Then your gear, it's technically still the offseason.
Because players do get cut and you can add players from there.
Well, look at the 49ers. Cut their fullback, Juszczyk, right? I don't know how to say his last name.
Juszczyk, yeah.
And now they just signed him back. So, like, that was totally
they're reducing a cap hit.
Cap hit, yeah. You never know what can happen.
You never know what can happen. A lot of things still can happen. And
yeah. I'm rather juiced to see how this season goes. You know what I mean? The offseason, I mean.
Really? That's the word we're picking?
Yeah.
After the
absolutely
PEDs?
Yep.
All right. All right.
Come on. I had to.
If anyone's ever seen The Office and like how Jim Halpert always just looks at the camera unamused, that was the look that I just gave to Joe. That is how I felt about that. That was terrible. That was awful. 4 out of 10. Now, when it comes down to it, you're way too amused. You're having a morning.
Uh huh.
When it comes down to it, though, the offseason, what the Bills have done, and a lot of it has been focused on their defense. And yet, there was a position that, up until yesterday, seemed to be not touched at all. And that was corner. They signed Dane Jackson yesterday. He knows the system. I am interested to see how much he actually plays, because if Babbage uses more man coverage, look out. It's not great. So I would imagine that they're not done with corner or the secondary at all.
Right.
I'm not convinced that Derek Forrest is going to be a low like this under the radar option at safety. Because last year we did that with Mike Edwards, and all of a sudden he's gone from the team halfway through the year.
Yeah. I like the Derek Forrest signing, but again, like you said, I think that kind of...
You can't assume that that's it.
Yeah.
So I'm very much now paying attention to the safeties in the NFL draft.
Mm-hmm.
Malachi Starks is probably getting taken in the top half.
But absolutely.
But if he hits 20s, get him.
Yeah, I think there are a couple players you can trade up.
Xavier Watts is a guy that you don't even need to trade up to get. Nick Amonwori is probably a player that I'm going to be fixated on now toward the end of the first round.
Mm-hmm.
Because he's got that athletic score. Oh, boy. The man can move around. He's a rangy center fielder type player with the size. Give me that player. Give me a peak athlete like that to play center fielder, so to say, for my defense. Because I don't see it in Bishop's game.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the athleticism. Like, that's something you either see it or you don't.
You can't train that.
If it's not there and he's a smarter player, that's fine. I do need a guy that can move around and create plays that aren't there.
You need a true free safety. That's what you need. Because we've talked about it. You had two of the same type of player in Damar Hamlin and Taylor Rapp. You didn't have a true free safety lined up.
Yes.
And with Micah Hyde and Jordan Poyer, you had a true free safety.
And you even had, effectively, a backup free safety if the other was hurt.
Pretty much, right.
Poyer could slide back into that role, and you played with Damar Hamlin during his rookie season.
Right, and that's why he was actually rather effective in that position.
He was a replacement-level player, but mm-hmm. he was still solid.
Yeah.
They tried Jaquan Johnson first. It didn't work.
Did not work.
And then they were like, all right, let's go with Hamlin. And he held down the fort as much as he could.
Yeah.
And effectively, that's what he is. He's a replacement-level player, which is good for being a depth signing or re-signing in this matter. I'm not going to go ahead and pretend like, oh, my God, like, why'd they bring him back? No, he's fine.
Mm-hmm.
And
more than serviceable.
I would just say serviceable.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not going to go too high or too low on him. He is a backup within the NFL, it looks like. That is where he is now.
I thought he would have ended up in a Pennsylvania area team. Because that's like his home. You know what I mean?
Yes,
like,
but he's also comfortable here, like, you know, with the defense. He does know it.
Right.
They are willing to offer him a contract. Why not take it, sort of thing?
Right. Guaranteed paycheck.
Yes. And also, you get to go back to somewhere that you know.
Mm-hmm.
And if he's needed to play as a starter, he will.
Yeah.
If he's needed for a game or two, he can do that. If he needs to come in for a couple snaps, he's not going to cause a play to be so bad that suddenly you're down two touchdowns.
No, he's not going to blow it up.
No.
By any means.
One way or the other.
Mm-hmm. Right. He's not a ball-hawking safety. We saw that.
Yes.
He had two picks last season, almost a third.
Yes.
And yeah, just kind of in the right place at the right time kind of just happened. It wasn't like he was tracking the ball by any
means. He did make some plays. For example, the sack in the playoffs against Lamar Jackson that causes the fumble.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So there's something there. And again, I don't want to go too deep into
analyzing Damar Hamlin, a re-signing
of a backup safety.
Mm-hmm.
But that's what it is.
Right.
And a lot of what Buffalo has done is either these one-year deals or re-signings. It hasn't been a lot of longer-term investment of players from the outside. And now comes the draft. Well, now. A month later comes the draft.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where everyone's going to shift their focus. And the Bills have 10 picks. Zach and I talked about this yesterday, and I want to get how you feel about this.
Okay.
With the offseason that they've had, they have 10 selections. How many picks do you think that this team should make out of those? How many players do you want the draft class to be? Because if anyone wants it to be 10, they're either sorely mistaken or blind. It's not going to be 10. They are going to move around the board. That's something that they do.
Yeah, and that's counting the pick from the Cowboys, right?
They have 10 selections, yeah. Yes.
Okay. Hmm. I'm thinking, because I don't think it's... I definitely think they move around.
They do move around. That's what they do. They typically like to go up.
And here's what I know the past couple of years they've traded back, and you know, out of the first, because they didn't really see the need for it because they ended up with Keon Coleman last season. But I think they go up in the first for the Michigan tackle. What's his name?
Kenneth Grant. You're on Zach's train car.
Yep.
On the defensive line, the meat wagon.
Yeah. You're on the pass rush express. That's what I'm on.
You're on the Kenneth Grant car.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's kind of where I'm at. I know safety's a need. I know cornerback's a need. But if he's available, say in the 20s, early 20s, I think Brandon Bean trades a couple seconds.
And I think that's where it is that last year was so bizarre in how the draft board went that trade-ups were just not going to happen.
Well, I feel like the wide receiver class was so deep, too.
For what they wanted.
Yeah.
Like, everyone, the one player that they could have obtained in a semi-realistic possibility was Brian Thomas. But how the board fell for Jacksonville, why would you bother trading? Just take the player.
Right.
Like, absolutely. If that's the best player on the board, just take him.
They were in a the Bills were not in a best player available position last year.
But Jacksonville was rewarded for that.
Mm-hmm.
Because six quarterbacks went within the top, 12 picks?
Yeah.
It was every other pick was a quarterback. That's insane. That doesn't happen.
No.
No NFL front office is predicting that six players go within the top 15. Or six quarterbacks go within the top 15. Typically, that is spread out through a first round. It was insane that that many quarterbacks go.
Even in 2018, I don't think six went. Did they? Five. And then Lamar Jackson went at 32.
And he was the fifth.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, because Rosen, I don't think.
Rosen was the fourth.
Yeah.
And he was the one that has not had any sort of
success or anything. Yeah.
But, yeah, you don't go predicting that sort of thing because then not in that structure. You might expect that teams might be willing to move around to get a quarterback and say in like within the 20s or something else of that sort. And a team that would want a quarterback could either trade down or yada, yada, yada. But no, there was such an importance on getting a quarterback from this class that teams went up and not just went up, they just stayed there, took a quarterback, and everyone else was just like, okay. So the rest of the board just fell the way we want it. Like Philadelphia. Philadelphia gets two parts of a secondary last year in Quenyon Mitchell and Cooper DeJean because the draft board fell the way that it did.
Yeah.
Because it wasn't just the fact that quarterbacks were going so frequently. It was that it was all offense in the first 15 picks.
Yep. And look at what DeJean did for them in the Super Bowl.
And a player like Cooper DeJean, who was seen as actually a likelihood candidate of being drafted by the Bills.
I remember that. I was excited for him.
But he falls out of the first round.
Yep.
And everyone's like, okay, that's interesting. Like, someone's going to get a really quality player. The Eagles go, he's still here? We're going to go get him. But he just took a corner. Yeah, I know. And they got two Rookie of the Year candidates out of it.
Exactly.
So
you just took a corner. Yes.
Last year the draft board was just so bizarre in that circumstance that trading back actually did make sense because the draft boards were falling so favorably for teams. The Bills wanted a player like Coleman, and they don't make those trades back without being comfortable with what's left available as a collective. It became very clear that they didn't want Xavier Worthy. They figured Khalil Shakir is their guy in the slot and that Worthy would be that, and that's a luxury good at that point. You need an X. So they must have been comfortable with whatever was there last year. This year, the draft board is not going to go that way. You're not going to get players being taken before projected value as frequently at a position as quarterback was last year. There was plenty of speculation about, like, is Bo Nix even a first-round pick? Is Michael Penix a first-round pick? Not only are they first-round picks, they make it within the first 15. Under it. J.J. McCarthy coming off of that season with Michigan, and it's like, is he really going to go in the top 10? He does.
Yeah.
Everyone knew 1-2-3 was going to happen. They didn't expect the others.
Yeah, it was like a wave.
So the board just falls that way. That's why there was no movement for that entire first round pretty much until Buffalo. They said, we're cool with what we got here. You're going to give us a pick to move back? We'll do it.
While we were all sitting here.
And while we're all sitting here waiting for that pick at 30 and it didn't happen.
Then it's time to go home.
Yep.
That was it.
So guess what we get to do at pick 30 again?
Wait.
Wait.
Or, you know what? They might, like I said, jump up into the 20s.
Yes.
And do that.
And like, I think that aggression is going to be more capable this year because the draft board is not going to formulate in the way that everyone's going to sit there and go,
no.
Wait, this guy's still here?
You don't have the offensive. You don't have the offensive class that you did last year. Running back, you have a better class.
You have it at the defensive line.
Yeah, exactly. But the offense, you don't have quarterbacks like you did last year. You don't have wide receivers like you did last year. You have nothing like that.
Matter of fact, if you get three quarterbacks in this draft, I'm going to be surprised.
Exactly.
The bet board has something with Jalen Milroe as a top 16 pick. And I don't blame that bet for being made.
No.
Because a team might be within the top 16 and go, we'll take that guy.
Yeah, a team that's looking for...
You get a fifth-year option on someone, and but I also think you have to be sold on the player with Milroe. There's random floating around about, is Jackson Dart a first-rounder? No. Well, at least for me, no.
Not quite.
Why? Why are we doing this? Will Levis was almost a first-rounder. Will Levis suddenly became a betting favorite to go like fourth overall.
I remember that.
Yeah.
Because that's when the whole mayo and the coffee thing started coming out, all that stuff. Yep. And then the infamous video of him at the draft just watching everyone get picked.
So this year, the draft board's not going to just fall in everyone's favor that are picking in the mid to later part of the first round. You're going to have to probably go get somebody if you want them.
Mm-hmm.
I suspect more aggression this year. Because also, I don't know, maybe the NFL is just like, hey, guys, we need more excitement in the draft. Stop just not doing anything.
Yeah.
And I doubt that that's actually the case.
But no, like, I don't think they could say that. I mean, they could.
They could, but it's going to fall on deaf ears.
Yeah.
But I think teams are going to need to go get their guys a little bit more frequently than they did last year, which was very much an inactive first round with trades. I would expect more moving. Not more moving, but back to the usual amount of moving.
Yeah.
Last year was below average because everyone's like, quarterback.
Yeah, you didn't have to worry about jumping teams because they were just taking quarterbacks.
They were just taking quarterbacks. And again, players like Nixon Penix are making it into the top 15, and that throws off draft boards everywhere. Because
I mean, look at Bo Nix, though.
It seems to have worked for a lot of them. Good for everyone that did.
And even Michael Penix, he ended up with a starting spot because Kirk Cousins was...
bad.
Yeah.
So again,
he needed the gym candy.
It seems like upon earliest investments on these quarterbacks, most of it's paid off.
Yeah.
The two that haven't given you the best of dividends so far are the first overall pick and JJ McCarthy.
Right.
Who got hurt before he could even have a chance. And guess what? Now it's his show.
Oh, yeah, they're giving him the keys.
And he's got one of the strongest rosters in the league.
And a former quarterback is his coach, so all things are pretty much lining up for him.
Yes.
So you got to just hope he can take off.
Yes, or just be ready to go from two surgeries on your knee. It's not
What easy. A shame.
It's not easy.
No, but also it worked in a way because Sam Darnold became an effective quarterback again, and now he's got a job in Seattle, too. Which is interesting to see the NFL last year versus this year because it looks different. Quite different, actually.
Yeah. The main point being, I don't expect them to make all 10 of these selections.
No.
I do expect it to comfortably, though, sit at 7 or 8.
Yeah.
I don't expect it to be only like reduced down to 6. I expect it to be 7 or 8 picks.
See, I think 6 is where I would say, like, over under 6.
Yeah, that's probably a good line.
But... I would probably
say over under 7 is probably your good establishment.
I think it's
6 if you're really aggressive.
I think they make 6 picks. I think they might have to. I think there might be some trades in there that 4 picks might.
I feel like
fall.
That's. I feel like that's too aggressive.
You think
the Bills have something this year? If you look at the pattern of free agent signings, it tells you something. There are a lot of 1-year contracts.
Mm-hmm.
You need a young group to establish underneath that, because. After this year, What are you going to do?
You're going to lose those.
Yeah. What are you going to do that all over again?
Could. You could.
You could. Or you could draft young talent that will help you fit under the cap and be more compliant so that you can go get a bigger piece instead.
Listen, as long as they take a young gun to take over for Daquan Jones, I'm all in.
And that is what they're going to be doing, it looks like. Like, Daquan Jones has not been re-signed.
No.
He was definitely one of the likable Bills, though, of that defensive line.
Oh, absolutely.
Before that pec tear, yeah. Oh my God, he was looking like...
He just wasn't the same after it.
Yeah.
And his run-stopping ability went out the window.
It's tough to come back from.
Yeah, especially at an older age like that.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not a slight to him by any means. It's just more so... He was injured. He's older.
That it happened.
Yeah, it has. It's like he had to move on from Mitch Morse. How many concussions did he have? Right, he's been the center for so long.
And the cap hit was enough that you could save some money you needed to.
Yeah,
and that's the end of it.
Yep, exactly. You don't want to, but it honestly, you got to put the business end first. You need a defensive lineman who can actually
and play. For me, it comes down to I'm ready for the most boring draft class possible.
Defense, baby.
Give me, at minimum, I'm expecting them to make 8 picks. I want 6 of them on defense.
Sprinkle a running back in there or something like that?
Sprinkle in a running back and you find out another position player of sorts. And we go from there.
Mm-hmm.
803-0550 is the number to call. What do you think about the Bills offseason so far? Anything else of the sort? Mike, I see you on hold. We'll get back to you on the other side here. Sports Talk Saturday. Going until 11:30 today because the Sabres take on the Vegas Golden Knights. And pregame starting for that one at 11:30 here on WGR.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing.
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or whenever my favorite team is playing late. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
Think warm. Think palm trees. Think baseball. Hi, I'm MLB.com's Matt Monaghan. The long, dark freeze is over, and spring training is finally here. If you're a baseball fan looking for a quick, easy way to get all the scores, top stories, and best sound bites from Florida and Arizona, you're in luck.
I don't think people realize how good we are. I don't even know if we realize how good.
The Morning Lineup Podcast, a short, less than 10-minute baseball highlight show, is available anywhere on any platform you listen to podcasts on, 5 days a week. We can't wait to meet you there.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Podcasts. I've been blessed. I've been lucky enough to play with Justin, and I'm extremely thankful for the Chargers from being drafted there and playing there for my 4 years, and Coach Daly and Tom Telesco and then Joe Ortiz and Coach Harbaugh. Playing with Herbo has got me to this point, and now I'm blessed enough to play with Josh Allen. So I'm excited to get to work. You know, I've only ever played with Justin, so you can imagine the excitement to see what it's going to be like to play with Josh and to play with this team and this organization.
New Bills wide receiver Josh Palmer. Talking about playing with Herbo.
Yeah.
That's fully great. Loaded. That's great. Great nickname right there, Herbo.
Yeah. That entire team, I do enjoy the Chargers as like a secondary team, you know? Like if the Bills aren't playing, I think watching that team is interesting to me.
I don't know about that.
No?
And I think that
I like watching them charger sometimes.
Yeah,
you know?
That's
like they make
why.
Games, they make games interesting.
Yeah, like that's why I'd be like, I don't know, man. I don't need more stress. I don't want to put like actual emotional attachment into them as a secondary team. God, no. Also, as of late, they're out before Buffalo is.
Exactly.
So you don't even have to worry about them.
No. And the thing is, with the Josh Palmer signing, everybody's immediately like, oh, I don't want to overvalue him. I think that's a heck of a wide receiver who's just had injury issues, right?
Not even that. It's you guys have been fine. You had the NFL's MVP with
Mac Hollins
leading your team in touchdowns.
Exactly.
And
Amari Cooper, who effectively
pour one out for your Mac Hollins enthusiast, of course.
Yeah.
And now having to see him on the enemy sideline for two times a year.
It stinks. I saw him walk barefoot into the Patriots presser. Yeah. I was like, no, this doesn't feel right.
No,
like
it feels right for him to still be him.
Oh, right. But I'm saying as a Bills, like we walked in barefoot for nothing, essentially.
No. We did not. We still did that. And we did that because we were...
The bit has to die now, though.
We were cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs, though, about the AFC Championship game.
We were.
And that's fine.
But the bit has to die. We can't do that again.
Oh, yeah. No, you can't. But don't...
To the 10 people who bookmarked it, I'm still uncomfortable. Just have to say.
All right. 803-0550 is the number to call. 1-888-552-550 as we get connected with our fans. It's brought to you by Northtown Kia. Shop online at northtownkia.com. Go to Mike in Amherst. Mike, how you doing? Welcome to Sports Talk Saturday, early edition.
Hi, guys. How are you? You guys are great, by the way.
Oh, thanks. Appreciate it. What you got for us?
You know, just this talk about being aggressive in the draft has just gotten me revved up again about potentially missing out on Thomas in favor of Coleman and Bishop. You know, obviously it's not that simple. Who knows if the shot was really there.
But to hear Bean talk about it, he never even took a shot. So I'm curious, do you think it was ever even in the cards? Or was it just Bean and the usual play it safeness? Your thoughts on that? And I guess, you know, as it pertains to this year's draft, what do you think the chances are that they actually do take a big shot and go after somebody like Grant?
So, Mike, to answer it all pretty swiftly here for you, I wouldn't say Bean was playing it safe, like not usual safeness at all. Bean is a guy who likes to move around the draft board. Last year, that draft board fell so well for teams that they didn't bother with it.
Mm-hmm.
So Bean probably thought the same thing. He's targeting players that had a certain draft range and realized all of it got pushed down the ladder because quarterbacks went so quickly. And that allows you to kind of stay sitting there, and then Kansas City calls, and then all of a sudden you're making a move and you're getting a pick back and you're moving up the draft board in day two, and particularly they wanted a round three opportunity. That was the other part. This year you have 2 second round picks, and that is probably gold for however you want to move and manipulate a draft board. I don't know if the move up happens in round one, but it definitely happens in round two. Either you end up with only the two selections, the first and the second round, but you move up in the first round to do it.
Right.
Or you end up with 3 picks in the first 2 rounds and you don't move anywhere. The other option is you get that first round pick, you move up in the second round, but then with your pick swap, you probably get a third rounder back again. And you're still making 3 picks within your first 3 rounds, as per usual. That's probably what I think is the most predictable outcome. It's all going to depend on the draft board. But I think that this year, Mike, expect to see Bean move up again.
Yeah.
That's something that he likes to do. It is something that they do rather frequently under his tenure as a general manager. So
it's only been in recent history where they've jumped down.
Last year also kind of seemed like an anomaly of sorts based on how the draft boards were moving and shaking.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think he even bothered with trying to move up because of the fact that he saw the lack of action, and teams are probably just like, no, we're not doing it. Like, maybe he has a conversation or two, and it's just, nah. And he gets a feel that that's probably what's going on across the league
right
in that moment and in that draft. Last year was just so bizarre to me that I think it's an anomaly.
Yeah.
I do expect a move up of some sort in either round one or round two to go get a player that they really like, because that's something they love to do, particularly in day two. They love moving around the board in day two and rounds two and three. It's one of my favorite things about covering it every year is day two and how they move around. They could have even gotten a Boone for pick 33. But they already traded down twice. To do it a third time, I don't know if there was anything of merit to do with that.
No. I do think they make an aggressive, not a, I want to say aggressive, but not super aggressive jump up. Like, I don't think they're in the low teens and single digits. I don't think they jump up that high. But I'd say if at pick 20 someone's available, I could see them jumping for that.
Yes. And it, again, depends on the draft board. If Kenneth Grant is hanging around there, if for some reason Malachi Starks is there because safeties don't get taken very frequently mm-hmm. or early, hey.
Right. You can add a young safety to your core and utilize him for a long – you have the fifth-year options, right? So it's
– yes, there's options to do this.
Younger, cheaper. That's where you need to be thinking right now.
And that's what I think the Bills need to do here. I see a lot of one-year or two-year short-term contracts going on from free agency to a point where I also look at the roster and go, there were the five that you had to get the re-signings for. Mm-hmm. You got three of them done. You don't have all five done.
No, you don't.
You might need to even reset that group a little bit and restructure a little bit of that core. That's where I think we're at.
Yeah. I agree. I'm intrigued and excited looking forward to this draft because it is different than last year.
Like, we don't have enough time for it today, but the mock draft simulator is about to get some real mileage this month.
Yeah. Yeah. Where last year, I feel like it was kind of the same thing every week. I don't think we saw a lot of movement either, though. We didn't trade around or anything like that.
We tried to at some point.
Well, that was on crack.
And that was more trades than anything that happened in round one.
Yeah. That whatever program we used for that was juiced, like, in all seriousness.
No, the one that you used was weird.
Yeah.
I used Pro Football Focus.
Right, right. Because it gave us, like, for one pick, the Chiefs were trading, like, four picks. I was like, no. I was like, what is happening?
I mean, that almost was kind of what happened.
Almost.
It was three and two, though. Like, there was pick swaps going on.
Yeah.
But the Bills did get to move up the board. Take another call before we go to break. Mike in Lakewood. Mike, how you doing? Welcome to Sports Talk Saturday.
Thanks, gentlemen. I'm not the only one that's irritated, but with Hoyt and Okungbowale testing positive for PEDs, I have a couple questions. One, is there any way the Bills can get out of those contracts? And two, do you think they had any idea that they had a positive test before they signed them?
Mike, to answer your questions in sequential order, I don't think they want to get out of those contracts. Hoyt's a 3-year deal. Ogunjobi's a 1-year deal.
Mm-hmm. They knew about Hoyt.
They knew about Hoyt, and they still signed him to a 3-year contract.
So they definitely see him as someone who can plug and play and stay.
They see him as a longer-term prospect with this group of being able to add a little bit more throughout a couple of years.
Mm-hmm.
Ogunjobi was the one that Bean said he didn't know about, but it's a 1-year deal. They're not that strapped for cash.
Right. But I can see where the 1-year deal gets fans frustrated because it's like, okay, you're going to miss almost 50%
of
the regular season.
You're missing at least a third of your season.
Exactly.
So, that is irritating.
And especially when you can't practice with the team in that, you're going to come back so rusty.
Yeah.
Which why did we spend that? I could see where that's frustrating with a one-year deal.
I could see where that's frustrating with a one-year
deal. But Hoyt, there's a future prospect there that I think can keep you hanging on.
There's a longer-term deal there.
And the Bills did that. They knew about him. So, like, clearly there's a reason he's still signed.
They knew about him, and they signed him to a three-year deal.
Do you think they would have signed Ogunjobi if they knew prior to this? That's my question.
My guess is probably not.
Mm-hmm.
They would have signed someone who would be able to have a little bit more of an immediate impact. But when you make moves, doors close to other players, they sign elsewhere.
Live by the sword, die by the sword.
Not even that. It's just other options end up going away. You can't undo it in that sense. You can't hit the reset button.
No, he had his presser yesterday. It's done.
Yeah. But also, if they do cut him, what's available to replace him is more or less where I'm going with that. You can't just suddenly sign him again to another different cap hit and not incur penalties. Like, that's just how money in the cap works. You don't want to incur dead cap just to reduce that cap hit. It doesn't help.
No, does not help at all.
So, no, I don't think they even want to get out of those deals, necessarily. It's not that pressing to me, based on the Bills knew about one and signed him to a three-year contract. So the context is there. They didn't know the other one, but it's only a one-year deal anyway. So my guess is, unless he plays particularly well, this season will probably be the only time we see Larry Ogunjobi in a Bills uniform.
Mm-hmm. And for a fraction of the time.
Yes. So that's how that is. I think that the NFL needs to have that sort of thing announced before the start of free agency.
Yeah.
Like, kick free agency start like a week or two back. Just so that, like, you get all those tests in.
Mm-hmm. Or even move the deadline for those tests a little sooner.
Yes. So that, like, right at the start of free agency, hey, here's who's not going to sign right away. Because
mm-hmm.
there's suspensions for these players.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That would be the smart thing to do. Because now, not to say it like this, but the Bills are almost handcuffed to Ogunjobi. Sorry, I can't. I always want to say Ogunjobi. But they're kind of handcuffed in a sense to that one-year deal, you know, where yeah. they probably wouldn't have made it, like we said. So that definitely, at the next owner's meeting, might need to be brought up. And who knows, it might because of that.
It could be interesting.
Mm-hmm.
All right, we come back. Booty cheek of the week. I've got a particular target that I'm pretty pissed about. And we'll talk more about that coming up next. Welcome back, Sports Talk Saturday. We are only here until 11:30, so we're about business here today. And this is Booty Cheek of the Week. And I'm sorry, I'm not taking applications from you guys on this one because I really want to dive into this and really target the Booty Cheek of the Week.
Yeah, I'm with you, by the way.
It's
so
Paul Bissonnette.
Yes, 100%.
On his podcast with Spit and Chicklets,
Ryan Whitney,
Bissonnette reports saying, I've heard that Rasmus Dahlin wants out.
He uses also the word gonzos at the end.
Yes.
And I'm like, okay, Dahlin just got English down.
Yeah.
We're reporting gonzos here. Like, gonzos. No, absolutely not.
But you are not an insider. You even say you're not an insider. You don't pretend to be an insider. You are an entertainer.
He's not a journalist either, by the way.
However, he knows what he's doing.
Hey,
and that is the part that irritates me.
Attacking a fan base that's already peeved and setting a fire beneath them.
And it's because it will get attention.
Yeah. You know how many times that clip was retweeted?
Too many.
And then it even gets the media attention for the team meeting in the locker room with Rasmus. The media meeting.
And props to Matt Bove for bringing it up.
Yeah.
Because the media wanted to talk to Dahlin, and Bove is the one that throws the question out there.
He didn't even know what he was talking about.
Yeah. I love that. Reactions. Who? Me? I'm leaving? Like, and then he gets more and more irritated as he starts talking. That kind of reaction is too genuine. The best part for me is he tries to walk it back on Jeff Merrick's podcast, which means you're already heinous.
Mm-hmm.
Stop trying to throw something out there that you should not be throwing out there. He tries to walk it back with, oh, wouldn't you think? No, no, no. What you said was, you heard this. Not, don't you think this? You said, I heard this. So if the Buffalo Sabres ever bring Paul Bissonnette back to like their luxury boxes or something, don't.
No, he's gonzos, as far as I'm concerned.
You're gonzos.
What a clip.
And the thing is that, like, I know the outreach that that podcast has, and they always come back with, like, the Chicklets Cup, like a street hockey tournament. So I'm going to hate that he's going to be here.
Mm-hmm.
Judas.
Et tu, Brute? It's the Ides of March, by the way.
Ugh. Like, get him out of my sight. Because then he conveniently is on vacation for the Sabres game against Detroit.
Mm-hmm.
And then the next day he puts up a Photoshop of Dahlin in a Leafs uniform.
Oh, he did that?
Go away, Biz.
Did, wait.
Forever.
I didn't know he did that.
Yes.
Oh, my God.
I thought it was someone else. I thought it was Tage.
Nope, it was Dahlin. He's a provocateur. That is what he is, and he got me pissed. You did your job by doing another job terribly. Don't pretend to be a journalist. Just do that, but like differently, please. You have great ways to upset and put people in a rise. You don't need to report something that was not actually reported. Best part is Elliot Friedman tries to take blame for it, saying this is kind of my fault. No, it's not. It is Bissonnette's fault. He did not name anything of a source of according to whom. It was nameless, it was baseless, and it sounded like garbage the minute that I heard it.
Yeah, I'm looking at the picture of him in the Maple Leafs uniform right now. It is Rasmus Dahlin.
Yeah. Who and is on record saying, I would never play for Toronto.
And he goes, thoughts, question mark, hashtag Leafs forever.
Oh, yeah,
that's
no.
The, that's the...
If the Sabres ever invite him back into a suite, ugh.
Gonzos, no.
Gonzos. Get out of here. All right. You know who's not gonzos, though?
Us.
Us. Not yet, anyway. The Sabres play at 12:30, so that means that the Sabres pregame is going to start at 11:30. We'll get a little bit of a head start on it with Pat Malacaro down at the arena. It's his last Sabres game of the season because he's going to be going into full baseball mode, and I can't wait to hear Pat with baseball again because, first of all, he's great at what he does as the play-by-play guy with the Bisons, but also the man knows ball, and we might even poke his brain about that. Coming up next here on Sports Talk Saturday here on WGR.
Sabres come right back. Three at the line as they enter. Drop pass. Here's Thompson scores! Tage Thompson lets it rip, and he scores his 12th career goal in now 19 games against the Red Wings, and it's 1-0 Buffalo.
They did score the first goal of that game. They would lose 7-3.
Hmm.
Against the Detroit Red Wings, the Buffalo Sabres would. But
muy interesante.
That was not the takeaway I had from that game, is that, oh, they lost 7-3, they got blown out again. There was something very interesting about it to me that I'm going to be a little unorthodox about. But before I get unorthodox about that, I would love to ask our friend Pat Malacaro about this sort of thing. The Sabres, they play today, 12:30 face-off, the pregame, starting in about 30 minutes' time with Pat here, Brian Colziel, Paul Hamilton. And Pat, this is the last Sabres game you're doing this year?
Hey, Derek. Yeah, this is the final one with the team going on an extended road trip next week, and baseball season for me starts under 2 weeks away, so this will be the last one I'm officially a part of the broadcast for.
Well, first of all, I'm honored that I get to talk to you before you get to your Sabres send-off for the year.
Thanks.
And second off, I'm excited for Pat Malacaro baseball mode.
I appreciate that. If we get weather like we've had the last couple of days, and I saw watched one forecast yesterday saying, you know, it's a long ways off still, but the trend could be above average temperatures for the area for the next couple of weeks. That's exactly what we'll be hoping for just down the street, just up the street from the arena up at the ballpark and hosting Rochester, the Red Wings, the Nationals affiliate, first 3 days of the year.
And just so that we can get that ready to go and teed up, when is opening day for the Bisons, and anything interesting going on for opening day at the ballpark?
The opening day is Friday, March 28th, at 2:05 first pitch against, as I mentioned, Rochester. Three games to open the season, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Saturday and Sunday are 1 o'clock first pitches. Just the usual pomp and circumstance of opening day. There'll be a magnet schedule giveaway for fans so they can, you know, put that on the fridge and come back out to a game. A couple of things I'm really excited for. We had with the What's New event at the ballpark earlier on this week. There's two theme nights coming up this year, in addition to Harry Potter night, which is a new one on our schedule. It replaces kind of the superhero night that we've had the last almost decade. But the two I'm really looking forward to is every Thursday starting April 10th, it'll be a throwback Thursday, including what we're calling our reverse retro look. For fans that maybe grew up in the early 2000s, you know the Sliding Buster logo. Mm-hmm. But you may not know that in 1998, when the team rebranded, there was actually a full rebrand with a uniform and caps that only lasted a year. And we're going to throw it back to 1998, but we're going to put the modern spin on it with a red, white, and blue combination. The cap got released on Thursday. I've seen what the jersey will look like. I've been in on the creative process on that. I think it's going to look really great. Can't reveal all the details because there's some fun stuff about it I think that fans will really like if you like the nostalgia. And the other one is Vintage Movie Night, which we're going to play The Natural afterwards as well. This is the 41st. We just passed the 41st, or we'll be passing the 41st anniversary of the movie coming out. It'll be Bisons-themed caps and jerseys. So, again, things that if you're nostalgic and you love baseball movies and the history of The Natural being filmed in Buffalo, you're going to love that. That's coming up in July as well.
One of the all-time great sports movies right there.
Joe's face was like, ooh, mentioning the reverse retro thing and then the Natural there. So, Pat, of course, I had to get a little bit of that baseball fix in for you there before we talk about the Buffalo Sabres. So, obviously, the last time that they were on the ice, the scoreboard does not look pretty. They lose 7-3. Bills fans can relate to a certain playoff game against Jacksonville with that kind of score, but it wasn't the scoreboard that was my takeaway from this game, Pat. The Sabres, for the first time since a Devils game that went awry, it was nasty in the third period, but the Sabres did what they said that they would. The last time that this sort of situation presented itself, the Sabres in the locker room said, this cannot happen again. Captain Rasmus Dahlin saying, this cannot happen again. And lo and behold, Jacob Bryson takes a dirty hit from Rasmussen, and the Sabres proceed to, they don't win these fights more so than, you know, like, it's more even keeled between the two of them. But they refuse to back down and let Detroit push them around in addition to losing the game.
Yeah, and that's one thing that you don't have to win the fight, but you have to stand up for a teammate. And that's so much part of the conversation of what didn't go in their favor that last time. The first time that you mentioned when Dahlin and everybody in the locker room to a man said, we have to be better than that. We have to stand up for our teammates. We have to show that we're not going to back down. And, you know, he's no longer on the team, but Dylan Cousins then, you know, in Carolina, has to fight off the opening draw. You know, so those are things that teams may test you over the course of a season if they think that they sense a weakness. And if you're the Sabres, you have to put that to rest. And it'll pop up in certain ways throughout the course of an 82-game year. You know, sometimes it just happens off the cuff and you have to respond. But that's been always been one of those things you look back over a decade and a half, do you stand up for your teammates? And you can go back to whether it be, you know, Ryan Miller getting run over by Lucic in Boston, and it always felt like there were more moments tending towards that than there were in the other direction. Not that there weren't, players that stood up for teammates, because I don't want to discredit that at all. But it felt like there were more of those other situations. So to see the team stand up for a teammate, to see the team not back down, those are all things that I think fans want to see, they need to see. And I think if you know you want to talk about moments that can kind of bring you together, those are type of moments that can bring teams together and help you kind of build something within that locker room and a culture.
One of those players that I saw heavily involved in that, in a lot of the fracases in the third period, was new Sabre Josh Norris. Norris is dealing with an injury, it does look like, right now, and he did not practice yesterday. It doesn't look like he's going to be playing today. J.J. Paterka also has been missing from the last game. He might not play in this one as well. But it does look like Norris is trying to also earn the respect of a new team, and he was in there quite frequently trying to make sure that either order is restored or trying to stand up for himself and others.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with adding a new voice to the room. And you hope Dylan Cousins has a great career in the NHL. It just, for whatever reason, these last 2 years did not work out with this team. But you were able to acquire a player in Norris that can be a difference maker. And you want to now see how that new voice can be added to the room off the ice, on the ice, and how he can try and build into the core of this team and help be one of those new faces that leads by examples and can lead in different ways. So I think that's one sign when you come out of this trading deadline is what are the new ways that this team tries to remake itself in a way that they get something going in the positive direction. The one thing we've seen is, okay, you can do that through the end of the year. It doesn't translate to the next season. So this is a step in that direction, but how do you continue to build off it come this summer, into the fall, into training camp, and be ready to go and be a competitive team? Because a team like Detroit, a team like Ottawa, the two teams we kind of talked about a little bit here, you were on equal footing with them, if not further along in your progression as a young up-and-coming team 2-3 years ago. So how do you get back to that spot? Because those two teams are contending for a playoff spot. That's just how it is. And you're not right there with them based on where you are on the standings. So how do you get to that level? And I think that's kind of, to me, that's what I'm looking at now, is how are these last month and a half, 2 months going to go and help you, if you're Kevin Adams, start to build back to what you thought this team would have been 2-3 years ago.
Pat Malacarlo joining us here on the Western Hotline, live down from KeyBank Center. Sabres and Golden Knights, 12:30 face-off, pregame starting in about 20 minutes here on WGR. Pat, when it comes down to it, like the trade deadline, I do think was a net positive for the Sabres front office. But now it's pretty much for the rest of this season, they are firmly entrenched in last place in the Eastern Conference. What are you looking for to end the year for a team that is going to go on to year 14 of the playoff drought? But what is going to be something that fans can try to attach to for a modicum of hope for next season?
I think just exactly what you talked about a minute ago, and you brought up about the Detroit game. You have to show signs of life. You have to show signs that you know, you're, even though this has been a season of regression, you see that they're kind of building now, and they've gotten over the hump of, you know, whether it's just whatever that issue has been for them to not take that next step. Show that you're there for your teammates. Show that you're not going to back down. What's the one thing that we saw going back 2-3 years ago, even though the team was out of the playoffs by this point of the year? They were showing that they could go toe-to-toe with some of the top teams in the league. They were able to go up and down the ice, and you may not win the game, but you're playing at other teams' speed and other teams' level. So it's showing that, you know, today a Vegas team that is very good. They've got a lot of firepower. They've somehow continued to add stars year after year when it seems like they don't have any cap space, but they find a way to add somebody to the group to make them a playoff contender. Can you stay with them today? Can you keep up with them? And can you see that throughout the final 2 months of the season, where you're going to have a lot of games coming up? You know, you're going to have a Tampa Bay again, a Florida again towards the end of the year, when those teams are really trying to solidify their spot in the playoff push. can you hang with them, and can you win some of those games? And again, you can't build that momentum from your season ending in the middle of April to then going to the next year in the beginning of October, but are you showing signs of life? And maybe that is one thing that's a positive that came out of the Detroit game. And we've seen that at times, but consistently showing those signs will be something I'm looking for.
Pat, when it comes down to it, there's one thing in the National Hockey League that I'm looking for at this point. And 16 games left in this season, and Alex Ovechkin is 8 goals away. Good news for Sabres fans. I doubt Buffalo is going to be part of that history because Buffalo plays against Washington 7 games from now for the Capitals. So I don't think that Buffalo is going to end up in a place where Ovechkin scoring a goal a game or maybe two just so that he could tie or break the record against Buffalo on March 30th. But do you think with 16 games left and 8 goals to go, Pat, that Ovechkin ties or breaks Wayne Gretzky's record before the year end?
There's no question in my mind now. Barring an injury, yes. Mm-hmm. I mean, that was the thing, is when he suffered the leg injury earlier in the season, you thought, okay, it's going to take a while to heal. He's not going to come back. He's, what, over 40 years old now. It might take a while for him to get back into game action and being somewhat his old self. That didn't take long at all, and all of a sudden he was right back on pace. So I think, barring an injury, there is no doubt in my mind, and I'll admit that I was wrong. I did not think he would get to even this point. Whether he wanted to even, you know, potentially still be in the NHL at this point, or whether he'd want to, you know, maybe go back home and play for a year or two over in the KHL and kind of end his career. But this is something that I think, you know, we've seen over the last year or so that it's inevitable. It's not a question of if, it's just a question of when.
I'm very interested to see if he will end up getting to that record right near season's end. And I do believe they do end their season against Pittsburgh. What a fitting way to do it would be, against hated rival Sidney Crosby. It would be in Pittsburgh, so Washington fans would be a little bit robbed of being able to see that sort of thing at home. But I would say it's got to be something that would be awesome to see, that he would close out the year with the record. And the way he's scoring at the clip that he is, it's not unrealistic to think that 9 goals to break it in 16, 8 in 16 to tie it would be hopefully the feather in the cap of his storied career.
Yeah, I mean, that is about the only milestone that is probably reachable by an NHL player. The points record for Gretzky, I don't think anybody's ever going to come close to that. So for Ovechkin to even come within shouting distance of the goal-scoring record that Gretzky has held for so long now, I think that's just a testament to not only his longevity in the league, because that's one thing you need, but to be able to continue to put up goals. I mean, remember, by the end of Gretzky's career, you know, he was in the single-digit goal total, and that's one of the reasons why he admits that, you know, he knew it was time to retire then at the end of the 99 season. So, you know, will we see Connor McDavid on the doorstep of breaking Alex Ovechkin's goal record somewhere down the road? Maybe, but for Ovechkin to get to this point, I think is something that I don't think anybody, as good of a player as Alex Ovechkin was in his first couple of years and being drafted number one overall, very few people maybe thought that he would get to one of those untouchable records that Gretzky has held for decades.
And even more impressively is that he lost a whole season with a lockout and another half season with a lockout and two portions of seasons due to COVID-19. So to think about all the games that were missed out of circumstance, not even injury or anything like that, but circumstance that left the league with less games to play, and he's still threatening to get it this year, is all the more impressive to me.
It is, and yeah, it's a testament, I think, again, to his longevity in the league, and to be able to put up these goal totals and the endurance to still play the game at a high of a level as he is. It is more skilled now than it may have been when he came into the league and when, you know, those early 2000s years of you know, really clogging the game down. But I think that makes it even more impressive that he is still able to keep up to the pace of the way the game is now at his age, and not to just be in the game, but to be competitive and to be still a game changer for the Capitals.
Pat, We know you got to get out of here to help everyone set up for Sabres pregame. You joining Brian Koziel and Paul Hamilton along the way for Sabres and Golden Knights. We'll talk soon, and we'll talk ball with you coming up.
Sounds great. Thank you, sir.
You're welcome. That's Pat Malacaro down at KeyBank Center. You'll hear from him plenty more in about 10 minutes with Brian Koziel and Paul Hamilton on the Sabres pregame show as Sabres and Golden Knights get ready for a 12:30 face-off down at the arena. And they've got a lot to contest with today when it comes to getting bums in seats. There's a St. Patrick's Day parade going on today.
Yeah.
And they're bad. I'm going to be kind of curious to see what the
turnout
seats look like today, especially because how nice it is.
I think you could sit Rob Ray in the 300s and not have anyone near him again.
You might be able to sit Rob in the 100s.
Mm-hmm.
Though there is still risk of getting hit with a puck in the 100s. So.
Yeah. You got to get glass in front of him somewhere. But I did see this. I just have to make a public service announcement here.
Oh?
The palm trees are back, right? People are making comments. The Sabres GM on free agents coming to Buffalo a couple months back. We don't have palm trees. We have taxes in New York. Someone says, the Bills have gotten four L.A. players in 4 days. Do you know, in fact, the taxes are higher in L.A. than they are in New York? So, yes, they do have palm trees.
Hmm.
Well, yes, palm trees
also have taxes.
Are there. The taxes are also outrageous. So, it's not Florida.
No, that's the thing. I know what Kevin Adams was trying to do there. He was trying to take a pot shot at Florida.
Absolutely.
The state of Florida and the two teams in Tampa and Florida that are getting discounts on players because of the fact that they don't have to pay a tax.
Mm-hmm.
I get what he was trying to do there. It was the problem of when he said it and how he said it that made it sound worse.
Yeah.
Because it's not about other teams in that moment. It's about yours.
Right.
And unfortunately, people turn that into, that's you talking about your team and being unable to sell your area. And I know what he was trying to do in that sense. He's trying to take a shot at the Florida teams, which I totally am for. I hate that the Florida teams are getting players on these discounts nowadays.
Yeah.
So.
I just saw that, though, and I'm like, we're really comparing L.A. to New York tax-wise. It's yeah. worse there.
But also, I mean, come on. Are we going to really concern ourselves with how that looks? By the way, the lines today, if Norris and Paterka are absent for this game, it looks like it would be Benson, Thompson, Tuck, Zucker, McLeod, Greenway, Krebs, Kulik, Quinn, Malenstein, Brent Kozak, and Sam Lafferty on the fourth line. So you got to try to beat the Golden Knights with this. Have fun.
And enjoy.
I think that my public service announcement is going to be this. Jack Eichel's been gone for enough time. It's his third visit back in Buffalo. It would be weird to hear boos at this point.
Mm-hmm. Still going to, I feel.
Yeah.
Like. If there's enough people there
that are going to do it. But also, the man's had a hat trick last time he was here. Let's try to not provoke that.
Yeah. I was at that game. so I remember it. It started out so well. All right. It did. The boos were electric. It was I didn't see the first one back in Buffalo, but then he gets
that game was truly electric.
Yes. But then he gets the empty net goal at the end to get the Hattie. I'm sitting there. I'm like, no, this is it. This is the last time he gets booed. And honestly, I didn't think he should have gotten booed that time. I think it was a little stale.
Yeah.
I'm not going to lie.
It might get a little stale at this point. And I do like to think that this is going to be how, like Pat said with us earlier, there needs to be signs of life. Beat Vegas at home, that's a sign of life. You need to have something to turn to as a bit of optimism.
Mm-hmm.
For
you need to prove you're not a potato.
Yes. Don't just fully potato on this one.
Yeah.
Just keep going. Make it look promising.
Finishing strong,
it's not even about
in last place
strong.
Is better though than not. You know what I'm saying? Like you kind of have to. That's showing signs of life.
Yes.
You have to win games to close out your season.
You do have to win games. I think it's just more or less you have to find a way to show promise, and it's not going to be on the team as a whole. There are going to be pockets of enthusiasm. Can UPL put a little bit more consistency to the end of the year? Can we get some sort of defensive progression from this team? at the end of the season, can you please replace Marty Wolford as an assistant?
Can we just let Lindy Ruff pick his staff? That'd be really cool.
Ruff would be here only one more year anyway.
Right. And Appert, maybe, if Appert's going to take over. You know, let those guys put their heads together.
Let Appert not have to coach the special teams.
Yeah.
Please. The power play is awful.
Mm-hmm.
The penalty kill is bad.
Yep.
Like, I think at some point, like, it's, you got to fix it.
Yeah.
But for now,
elbow the table.
But for now, when it comes down to the rest of the year, show me a pulse. Show me something like, if you're going to lose a game, that teams aren't going to push you around.
Yeah.
Like Detroit. That game got away from you because the penalty kill ultimately failed 5-on-4. They survived the 5-on-3 to start the third period, and it was a lengthy one. And then the minute it goes to 5-on-4, a couple seconds later, they give up a goal.
Mm-hmm.
And it's 5-3, then it gets to 7-3, and then the Sabres said, no, you're not going to also punch us in the face. Let's see what they do against Vegas. Derek Kramer, Joe Calley, thank you very much. Sabres pregame coming up next.